Today, Shir's Masechta Bava Kama on Daf Pei Dalad. We will begin six lines from the top of the Yomid at the two dots. The Gemara is in the middle of the sugya of Ayin Tachas Ayin, that we know that Ayin Tachas Ayin is mammon, that you only have to pay money, and we don't take it literally that it's an eye for an eye. And the Gemara is trying to find various proofs in the Torah to this fact. Tanya Idich. We learned in another brisa, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Yomer, Ayin Tachas Ayin is equivalent to Mammon. Ato Yomer Mammon, you say that it's money, Oyein El Ayin Mamish. Maybe it means literally an eye for an eye. The Bach puts in the word Amrat, I will tell you. It cannot be literally an eye for an eye because of the following reason. Hareisha Hayasuma Vesime. Let's say the person who blinded his friend, he himself was blind. Let's say he blinded his friend in his right eye, and this person himself was blind in that eye. Or, kiteya, he amputated someone else's hand. Vikita, he himself was an amputee, and he amputated someone else's the same hand. He's amputated on the right hand, he did that to somebody else. Or, chiger, he is lame, vichiger, and he caused someone else to be lame. How can I fulfill in this case an eye for an eye when this person already is missing that eye or that hand or that foot? And as Rashi now speaks out, you cannot say that, okay, in that case we'll take his money, the value of the eye, but in all other cases we'll take the eye itself. V'atayra amra mishpat echad yelachem. The Torah said there should be one judgment to you, and I interpret that to mean mishpat hashav lekolchem, that it's a judgment that's equal to everybody. Everybody gets the same punishment. We can't have one person losing an eye and the other person paying money. So it must be that everybody pays money, and it's not ayin tachas ayin mamish. Amri, I'll tell you, my kushu. What's your question? What proof do you have from this line of reasoning? Dilma heichad efsher, heichad loy efsher. If it's possible, really we'll say that ayin tachas ayin is literally an eye for an eye. Wherever you can take out his eye, you do take out his eye. If he's blind in that eye and you cannot take it out, so then we don't do it. Upatrina le, it'll be potter. As Rashi speaks out, it will still be a punishment of mishpat echad yelachem, mishpat hashav lekolchem, because wherever this exact punishment is feasible, we'll be doing it. To the person who it's not feasible, he'll be potter. But wherever the oynish is meted out, it will be given out in the same way, an eye for an eye. And I'll bring you a proof, says the Gemara. De loy teimahachi, if you're not going to say this way, treifa shaharges hashole. If you have a person who is a treifa, he has in one of his main limbs, he has a defect which means he's going to die in a very short amount of time. And he killed a person, he killed someone who's a sholem, who's whole, who's healthy. So mayav dinale, what can we do to that person? As Rashi explains, this treifa, there are no witnesses who can tell us that he, let's say Reuven is the treifa, that Reuven killed Shimon. Why? Because those Edom will be Edus She'iyata Yochel Azima. If Levi and Yehuda say that we saw Reuven kill Shimon in New York on Sunday at 3 o'clock, and Yisachar will come along and say that Levi and Yehuda, how could you say you saw this Sunday at 3 o'clock when you were with us at that time in Los Angeles? So this is the classical case of Adam Zaymimin. And what is the din by Adam Zaymim? The Pasuk says that Vasisim Loi Kasher Zomelas L'Achiv, that you have to give those false witnesses to Adam Zaymim what they plan to do to their friend. What did they plan to do to their friend in this case of a treifa? They were planning to cause death to Reuven by saying that Reuven killed Shimon. Reuven is already considered dead because Reuven's a treifa. So therefore, we will not do anything to the Edom. If we'll not do anything to the Edom, it means that those Edom are never considered Edom she'ata yochel azimam. You can never give them the din of what they plan to do to Reuven, because Reuven's already considered dead. So therefore it comes out that the treifa that kills someone we will not be able to punish the treifa. So if we're not able to punish the treifa, how can we punish other people? Other murderers, where we do have good witnesses. The answer is, must be, Elahecha de'efsher efsher, continues the Gemara, wherever it's possible to give the punishment, we give it. Hecha de'loy efsher, in the case of a treifa, loy efsher, it's not possible because of this halachic technicality. Upatrina le, and then ein echanami, if the treifa did kill, we will have no recourse but to say that he's free. Does that mean that it's not mishpat echad yilachem, mishpat ashav lekulchem? Wherever we can give out a punishment, we give out the same punishment. The only time there'd be a chsorn of mishpat hashav lekulchem was if to one person we give one type of punishment and the other person we give a different type. But if one person we free for a halachic technicality, and the other person we always give the same punishment, that's not a problem with mishpat hashav lekulchem. So the Gemara at this point is coming out that we would have no proof. On this Amid, we're going to have certain proofs to the point that ayin tachas ayin means mammon, which will stand up. And there are other proofs which the Gemara is going to show do not stand up. And this is one of them that does not stand up, because we could say it means ayin tachas ayin mamish, and a suma that caused his friend to lose his eye. In that case, we will pater him, because it's not possible to punish him the way you should punish him. But we could still say that ayin tachas ayin means mamish. Now, on this Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks what we call a bomba vakasha. How could you compare the case of treifa to our case here of ayin tachas ayin? By treifa, whoever we can punish, we punish. Why can't we punish a treifa? Because we don't know that the treifa actually killed someone. The only way we could know that that the treifa killed someone is if two edim are meyed, they testify that they saw that Reuven the treifa killed Shimon. But we are not going to accept any edim. Let us see the Rabbi Kiva Eger here on the side in the Gilyan Hashas. Kashali, kivon de hu ed shiat yachal azima, since, as we explained from Rashi, these are edim where you can never bring other Edom to say that the first pair of Edom were Edom Zoymimim, because we can't do anything to the first pair of Edom, because they didn't really want to do anything to Reuven, because Reuven's already considered dead. You can't say they had in mind to kill Reuven on the trumped up charges that Reuven killed Shimon. So, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, in that case, like Mikri Edis, that's not called any Edis. Va'amri Shema Bemis Leharg. If so, if Bezdin doesn't have any Edom to rely on, Bezdin can say, we don't know that Reuven really killed Shimon. There's no Edom that we can accept. Im Kain, my Parchinin. What are we asking? How are we disproving this proof? Hashapur Miskayim Mishpat Echad. Really, this will be a case of Mishpat Echad. Ela de Patrinin Le, de Leke Edis, de Horak. Perhaps there is a problem of Mishpat Echa in the case by a sumo where we do have valid Edom, and we know that the sumo blinded someone else, and we're going to say that the sumo is potter. Perhaps that is a chsorin of Mishpat Echa. And what did you want to bring me a raya from treifa that it's not a chsorin? There's no comparison. By treifa, I don't even know that the treifa killed someone, because I have no Edom that I can accept. But where I do know that the suma blinded the other person's eye, and I won't give the suma the punishment of losing his eye because I can't, maybe when I free the suma, perhaps that is called a lack of mishpat echad yilachem. There's no proof from treifa. By treifa, I don't know that the treifa did it. But where I do know that the suma did it, and yet I'm going to let the suma off scot-free, maybe that is a lack of mishpat echad yilachem, and maybe it makes more sense to say ayin tachas ayin means mammon, and therefore everyone, the suma included, will have to pay mammon. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger is asking a tremendous question here. What is the comparison between the case of treifa? What's the proof to our case here of suma? It is two different cases completely. Rabbi Kiva Eger remains with a tzorach iyun. Really, this is such a strong question, we would think Rabbi Kiva Eger would say tzorach iyun gadol, Perhaps he only says Sarachin because he himself in the Chedusha Rabbi Kiveger learns the Gemara in a certain way that would answer this question, and other Achroinim, the Chazoinish, and the Yad David, the Gedulei Shmuel, Rav Steinman Shlitin, the Sefer Ayelas HaShachar, the Chazoinish, many Achroinim give various terutzim on this kasha of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger remained with a Tzorech Ian, Ayin Shum in the Achroinim, what they say on this question of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Continues the Gemara, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Tana, they taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Krata Pasuk says, Kain Yenasein Boy, the Pasuk in Vayikra Chav Dalet. Pasuk Chav states, Shever Tacha Shever, Ayin Tacha Zayin, Shen Tacha Shen, Kasha Yitei Mumba Adam, Kain Yenasein Boy. What if he did a wound, a blemish in his friend, that should be done to him. But the word is yinasein, ve'ein nesin el mamon. When we refer to nesin, it means mamon. That's the way Tana d'Rabbi Rabbi Shmuel learned it. Elo me'ata, ask the Gemara, we have a pasuk right there, the same pasuk. Kasha yitein mum ba'adam, kein yinasein ba'adam. Yinasein, he said, is mamon. So what does it mean, yitein mum ba'adam? You can't say the word yinasein or a derivative of yinasein. Yitein will mean always money, because in what way could we understand the first part of the pasuk? Kasha yitein mum ba'adam. What does it mean? He gave him money. He gave him a mum. He hurt him. Elamiyata kasha yitein mum ba'adam. He inflicted a wound in his friend. Hachinami the mamon. Why are you going to say that's mamon? So you cannot interpret the word yinasein or yitein to mean money. Amri, I'll tell you, debay Rabbi Shmuel, kroy yisei radarshi. They don't know it from the context of the word itself. But since this kain yinasein is an extra pasuk, they understood that it means mamon. Why? Michti ksiv. It's written in the previous pasuk, ish ki yitein mum ba'miso, v'yikra chavdalet pasuk yutes, the ish ki yitein mum ba'miso, kasher osa kain ye oseloi, the ish ki yitein mum ba'miso, kasher osa kain ye oseloi. So now the Gemara asks, kain ye nasen boy lomeli, why do I need to repeat in the next pasuk, kain ye nasen boy? And the Gur Arye, the Maral, says even deeper, that not only is it repeated, but it's a different language, because the other pasuk says kain ye osaloi, it should be done to him, which we could understand to mean it should be done to him, inflicted on him that wound. But kain ye nasen boy is a whole different word, and it's repeated. Shemami, no, you know why it's repeated, and why was it changed into the ye nasen instead of ye osa, which should be done to him? Shemami, no, mamon. So that itself is a proof that it means mamon. Ask the Gemara, kasher yitein mum ba'adam lamali. If the only reason it's repeated is to tell me that it means mamon, so why did the Torah have to add also the words of kasher yitein mum ba'adam? It could have said shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shen tachas shen, kein yinasein boy. Think more answers. I did the boy micht of Kenyan Asabite, since it wants to end off with the words Kenyan Asabite, Kasav Nami, Kasha Yitim Mumbadam. So it already started with the beginning of that concept of whatever you did should be done to you through Mammon. So this Raya seems to stand that it is a good Raya. The Gemara does not shlug up this Raya. The Bei Rab Chiya, in the base manager of Rab Chiya, Tana, they learned, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Dvorim, Perek Yutes, pasuk Chof Aleph. It's speaking about Edim Zoymimim. V'loy Sochis Einecho, Nefesh B'Nefesh, Ayin B'Ayin, Shem B'Shen, Yad B'Yad, Regel B'Regel. As the pasuk had previously said, V'asisim Loik HaShazom V'las La'achiv U'V'yarto Rami Kirbecho. So the Gemara learns, Yad B'Yad, when you're punishing the Edim Zoymimim because they wanted to injure the hand of their friend, and by saying a false testimony, they testify that Reuven broke Shimon's hand, and they want to do that damage now to Reuven, so that should be done to them. Yad B'Yad, what is their punishment? A hand for a hand. Dover Hanitim Yad L'Yad. We say that means something, money, that's given from one hand to the other. Umayni umamin. And what is that? Mamin, money. So the Pnei Yeshua, understanding Rashi, explains that since this pasuk is speaking about Edom Zoimim, and the pasuk says you should do to them a hand for a hand, which means that we interpret a thing that's given from one hand to the other, which is money. That means you punished Edom Zoimim money. If you punished Edom Zoimim money, it must mean that they wanted to cause that loss to Reuven, who they're testifying about. They say that Reuven knocked off Shimon's hand. And you're telling me that what's the punishment today? Edom Zoimim and money. It must mean that when they're testifying that Reuven wanted to do this to Shimon, and they want to cause a damage to Reuven, what damage do they want to cause to Reuven? They want to cause the damage that Reuven should pay Shimon money. And that's why Vasisim Loi Kashizom Lasis Lachiv. That's why the Zoimim have to pay money, because that comes out to be the damage that they wanted to do to their friend Reuven. So that means that this, says the Pnei Yeshua, teaches us that the punishment of Reuven, had the Edom not been Edom Zoimim, and they would have, their testimony would have been accepted in Beis Din, what would have been Reuven's punishment? Reuven's punishment would have been that he has to pay money to Shimon, and not that we break off Reuven's hand. Otherwise, the Edom Zoimim wouldn't pay money. We would break Edom Zoimim's hand. Ask the Gemara Al-Miyatev, so what's the next part of the pasuk? Regel beregel, nami hochi hu. Are you telling me by regel beregel means the same thing? That instead of foot for a foot, that they wanted to cause Reuven to lose his foot, and therefore we do that to the Edom Zoimim, are you going to say that it means money? Money is not something that's given by from one foot to the other. Amri, I'll tell you, the Be'er B'chia, Kroy Yisera Kedarshi. Again, the Yeshiva Rabbi Chiya, they didn't know that Yad B'Yad means money, because it's something given from one hand to the other, just by the context of the words. But rather, they learned it from an extra pasuk, Mechdei. Ksiv, it said there in Dvorim, Yotes, Perik Yotes, Pasuk Yotes, Vasisim Loi Kasher Zom Lasses La'achiv, you should do to him what he planned to do to his brother by the Edom Zoimim, Yisak Dadach Mamish. If you're going to say Vasisim Loi means you do exactly what he wanted to do to his brother. His brother, they wanted to make him lose his hand. And that's what happens to the Edom Zoimim. So Yad B'Yad Lomeli. Why do you have to repeat Yad B'Yad? You said whatever they wanted to do happens to them. Shema Aminam, Amen. So from that I learn out that it must be, it's repeated Yad B'Yad to tell you that it means money. Afraid to get more, but that doesn't answer the question. Regel b'regel lomeli. Why do I have to repeat regel b'regel? I already learned mamon from Yad B'Yad. The answer is, I need to siv Yad B'Yad. Since we already said Yad B'Yad, kosvadami regel b'regel. So it already said, the whole list, it said regel b'regel as well. Abaya Omar. Abaya is the way to Bachskoyr, it's not Omer, but Omar. Abaya said, Asiya meditani rei chiskiya. We're going to learn out this din of Ayin Tachas, I means Mammon, from Tani Bei Chizkiya. The Tani Bei Chizkiya, in the yeshiva of Chizkiya, they learned Ayin Tachas, Ayin, it says an eye for an eye. Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, a life for a life. But, V'loy Nefesh V'Ayin Tachas Ayin, we don't cause someone to lose both his eye and his life. V'Yisal Kedatach Mamish. If you're going to say that Ayin Tachas Ayin means literally, you take out his eye. Zimnim the mishkachas lo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. Sometimes it'll come out. He damaged his friend's eye, and when we give punishment to him, not only does he lose his eye, he loses his life as well. Why? How could it happen? The bahari davrele, when Beis Din is causing him to lose his eye and become blind to that eye, nafkale nishmas, from the operation of losing the eye, he loses his life as well. And the Torah said, you can only do, if we're going to say that ayin tachas ayin means literally an eye for an eye, you can't do more than an eye for an eye. You can't do eye and a life for an eye. Ask the Gemara, my cushion, this is your proof that ayin tachas ayin must mean money? Because if it was literally, it could come out, he'd lose more. What kind of question is that? Dilma, meimid amdinale. Maybe Bezdin has to assess whether he will lose his life if we take his eye. If the doctors assess that he could suffer the loss of an eye and still live avdinan. We take out his eye. Ve'i loy matzim mekabel loy avdinan. And if he's not able to accept it, their doctors are afraid that he won't be able to take the surgery of losing the eye, then we don't do it. So maybe it still means literally, and we estimate if he could do it in, or not. Now, ve'i amdinan dematzim mekabel. Let's say Bezdin decided he could take it. Vavdinan be. And we did the surgery. We took out his eye. V'nafak ruche, and yet he died. Imayis lemus. If he dies after we made an honest evaluation that he could survive it, if he dies, let him die. It means there's no fault of anyone that he now died. Miloitznan. Didn't we learn a similar thing in the Gemara in Makis? Gabi Malkis, amdu umeis tachas yari pater. If they estimated that the person who's supposed to get Malkus will be able to take the Malkus and nothing will happen to him. He won't die. And yet he died. So the person who gave him the Malkus is Potter. It's considered that this is an oinus that happened, that the person died because the doctors assessed that he would be able to take the Malkus and survive. So therefore, your proof is no proof. It could be we do it literally, ayin tachas ayin. You're not supposed to take an eye and a life. That's if you do it on purpose. But if you estimated that he could survive it, if he won't be able to survive it, you ain't economic. Don't take out his eye. And if you estimated he could survive it and yet he died, nothing. There will be no repercussions. So this proof, the Gemara is slugging up and saying, is not a valid proof to prove that ayin tachas ayin means mammon. There's no proof. Maybe it means literally an eye for an eye, and yet everything would work out. So we have no proof that it means mom. Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rabba Amar, or as the Masoreh Sashas tells us, it's really Rava. Rav Zvid said the name of Rava. Amar Kvarta Patsuk says, extra words, Petza Tachas Petza. It says, a wound for a wound. And that's extra, as Rashi says, because the Torah says over there, Kviya Tachas Kviya. This is in Shmoy's Perikov of Pasuk Chafei, Kviya Tachas Kviya, Petza Tachas Potza, and Chabura Tachas Chabura. A burn for a burn, a wound for a wound. So the words Petza Tachas Potza are extra, and we learn it, Litin Tsar B'Makom Nezek, that not only do you have to pay Nezek, but you also have to pay Tsar. Rashi tells us that, in fact, Kviya is also extra. And Chabur is also extra. But here the Gemara is focusing on the words Petz. If you told me, Kviya Tachas Kviya, a burn for a burn, so we understand that a wound for a wound will be the same thing. What do you have to repeat? A wound for a wound, to teach you that he, besides Nezek, you have to pay Tsar. Now comes the proof that Ayin Tachas Ayin must mean money. Ve'i Salka Datach. Mamish, if you're going to say Ayin Tachas Ayin means literally an eye for an eye, so why does the Torah tell us that you have to pay for pain, tsar, and not only for nezek, for damages? Ki hechi de lahai havalei tsar lahai namiyas le tsar. Just like I inflicted pain, not only did I cause damage when I knocked out his eye, but I also gave him pain. So if I'm going to have my eye, if the person who did the damage is going to have his eye removed, so in that operation, he will have pain as well. And he has to have the operation in a similar manner that he caused the damage. So just like he caused the damage through pain, he's going to suffer pain when he loses his eye. So what does he have to pay for pain? He is not only losing his eye, he is also suffering. So it must be that he has to pay money. The Torah tells us not only you have to pay for damages, you have to pay for pain, because you're not experiencing any pain. You're not losing your eye. That's a proof that it must mean mamon. My kushes. The Gemara says, what kind of question is this? What kind of proof is it? Dilma. Ikki inish demafanek. There is a delicate person. Islay tsar tvei. He has a lot of pain. The ikki inish. There is a person. Limefanek. He's not so sensitive, not so delicate. Less late tsar. He can take it like a man, and he doesn't have such pain. Lamayinef gemina. What's the difference between the victim who, let's say, suffered a lot and had a lot of pain, and the mazik who did the damage, who, when his eye is removed, doesn't have so much pain. The difference is, lemeis lehet the beni beni. That's what the Torah is teaching you. You have to pay for the tsar. Bezdin estimates that you have only very little pain when you had your eye removed. The fellow who got his eye knocked out by you had a lot of pain. You have to pay the difference. So it could be that the person really will have to lose his eye. What was your question? So he is suffering already. Why does he have to pay for suffering? He has to pay the difference between the much suffering that his victim had and the little suffering that he himself had. So this proof is again schlugged up. Rapav Mishmeder Rav Amar Amar Krata Pasuk Set Virape Yurape, that he has to pay for doctor bills, medications, medical expenses, litin refu b'makom nezik, that not only does he have to pay for damages, he has to pay medical expenses. V'yisal k'dat ramamish, and if you're going to say, this is very similar to the Gemara before, if you're going to say that we literally take out his eye, gehechi the high boyasi, just like the victim required healing, and a doctor, high nami boyasi, he also requires healing. So therefore must be that it's mamon. If it's mamon, then I have to pay for your doctor bills, not only for nezek. But if it would be literally that an eye is taken out, so it automatically this person is going to have to pay his own doctor bills. Why should he have to pay again the doctor bills of the victim? My kushya. That's no proof. Dilma ikud asalik bisrei chaya. Rashi says the word chaya means maher, quick. There's some people whose flesh heals quickly. There is someone whose flesh does not heal quickly. He needs more doctor bills. Perhaps the victim had major medical expenses, and the perpetrator of the crime, the mazik, when we do it to him, he doesn't have such big doctor bills. What's the difference? That you have to pay the difference between the much doctor bills that the victim had and the few doctor bills that you had. So it could be we do it literally, and yet there is a place for the Torah to tell us that you have to pay the extra doctor bills that the victim had over the perpetrator. This raya again, we have schlugged up. Rav Ashi Amar Asiya Tachas Mishor. We are going to learn Gzeirah Shavah from Shor, which has the word Tachas, and there it means money. The same thing over here, Ayin Tachas Ayin means money. Ksiv Hach, it says over here, Ayin Tachas Ayin, uses the word Tachas. Ksiv Hach, it says over there in Shmois Chafalef Pasuk Lamed Vav. This is concerning a shor. I know that kishor nagachu mitmal shoshem a shor amuid v'lo yishmenu balav shalom yisham shor tachas a shor v'amesi aloi. So the pasuk says shalom yishalom shor tachas a shor. It uses the word tachas. Ma'ala halamam, just like over there by a shor, it means money. Why? Because it uses the word yishalom, which means money. Afkan mamen. So over here also ayin tachas ayin means mamen. Ask the Gemara, my chaz is the office tachas tachas mishor. Why do you make gzeir shavah tachas tachas mishor? Nelef tachas tachas mi adam. Let's use the gzeir shavah tachas to adam. Dichsiv, it says, when a sato nefesh tachas nefesh, if somebody killed somebody else, then you have to pay a soul, a body for a body, a soul for a soul. It used the word tachas, and the malala mamish, there it means literally you can't pay for it, but rather the person has to lose his life. Afkan mamish, so here an ayin, tachas ayin, we make zeir shava tachas tachas, that it means mamish, that you take an eye for an eye. Amri, I'll tell you, done in his zakim and his zakim. We learn out from ayin tachas ayin from shor, which is nizik and damages, vein dada nizakim imisa, we don't learn out from adam, because there it's a case of misa, and therefore you don't learn damages from death. Adarabba, I can tell you the opposite. Don and adam adam, vein dada adam and beheba. Maybe I have to learn out when a person does damage to another person, from a case where a person kills another person, and I don't learn out a person from the case of shor, which is an animal. So, therefore, so far we have no proof. Elom Ravashi, mitachas asher ino yolefle. We're talking about someone who's ma'anes, he rapes a virgin of psula. And there it says he has to pay chamishim shkolim tachas asher ino, because he caused her this pain. So here it's a perfect gzeirah shavah, because it's adami adam. It's a person from a person, and it's not a death case, a case of murder, but rather the zakim and the zakim. It's damages from damages. So Tosfos, in the top Tosfos, wants to know, it's such a good gzeirah shavah, and it fits so perfect, Li, so why didn't the other Amoraim learn it the way Rav Ashi did? Tosfos answers, because we've already before on Daf Hey Amid Aleph, we have already used this Gzeirah Shavah of Tachas Tachas, we have used it to teach us the din of Meitav, and therefore they did not use it for that purpose. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Rav Lezer Oimer. Rav Lezer seems to disagree on all the Tanoim that we learned before. Ayin tachas ayin means mamish, literally an eye for an eye. Ask the Gemara, mamish salkadatach, do you think that Rav Lezer is saying that you literally take out an eye for an eye? Rav Lezer leslim kecholani tanoi. He doesn't hold like all the other Tanoim who brought proofs from the Torah. Some of them we were able to shlug up, but others remained. There are certainly many proofs that ayin tachas ayin means mamon. How could he say it means mamish? So before we see what the Gemara's teretz is, and the Gemara in fact says you're right, Rav Lezer can't mean mamish, Rav Lezer meant something else. But what is the Gemara's question? The Achronim tried to understand what the Gemara's question is here. Maybe he's arguing. He feels that they're wrong. Why isn't it possible? So the Maratzchis and other Achronim bring the Rambam in Hilchos Chayv L'Mazik, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav, and I quote, even though we see these halachas of ayin tachas ayin that it means mamon from Torah Shebiksav, the kulam ufurashnein mipi Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, they were all explained from Moshe at Har Sinai. They are kulon halachal Moshe hein biyadeinu. It's halachal Moshe miSinai. Ukazer ro aviseinu. Donin bebeis dinay shel Yeshua, bebeis dinay shel Shmuel Ramasi, ubechol batei bezdin ubezdin shamdu mimoish Moshe Rabbeinu Barasha. Every person saw in his bezdin from Moshe to Yeshua to Shmuel Ramasi until this time, says the Rambam, that ayin tachas ayin does not mean mamish, it means mamon. So the Maratzchi says that, why is the Rambam telling us this? And the Rambam says a similar thing, says the Maratzchi, in his Hakdama concerning the Gemara and Sukkah. The Gemara wants to know, maybe we shouldn't take an esrog on Sukkot, we should take palpulin, peppers, we should take something else rather than an esrog. So the Rambam says there also that the Chachamim knew that, of course, they saw what their father did and what their grandfather did, what their Mesorah was. Their Mesorah was that one only took an Esrog. What the Gemara and Sukkah is trying to find out, what is the Makar, what's the Nasmachta from the Pasuk in the Torah, that we could see that Esrog, as the Gemara says, it's a fruit, Hador Mishan Lashana, it stays on the tree from one year to the other. Where is the proof in the Torah to the halachic fact that we know halachal Moshe miSinai that the pre-Eitz Hadar is in fact an esrog and not anything else? So too over here, the Gemara is asking mamish salkadat the Rav Lezer less like a kol ani tanoi, because our Gemara wasn't proving from these psukim this halacha. Our Gemara knew from one bezdin to another back to Moshe miSinai that we only give ayin tachas ayin means mamon. The Gemara wants to know, what's an asmachta, what's a remes to that? And the Mela, when they found a Rav Eliezer who said, ayin tachas ayin means mamish, the Gemara says, that's incredulous, that can't be, it's impossible. All the batidinim and all the generations said that ayin tachas ayin means money. They have different shittas, machloikas, what the remes in the Torah, what the asmachta in the Torah is. But avad, they, bevadi, the losh of the Ratzchias, Poi hoy Allah Moshe Messina, Varak Chok Rulim, say Smachlazek, Kolish Lufiavanasai. But there was no question in the actual halacha, and that's why the Gemara asks over here, Mamish Salkadatach, how is that possible that he doesn't hold like the other tonight? So Omar Rava, as the Mesaris Hashas, the Marshal, tells us, Loimar, she ain't Shavanai Soikavit. Of course, you have to pay money. But what he meant, Mamish, is we have to evaluate his eye, exactly what it's worth, and not the way we do it many times, that we sell him for an evid, and we see what would he be worth with the eye or without the eye. How do we don't estimate it like an evid. We estimate it like a ben chayrin. then Chorin, a free person, mi islay d'mei, does he then have any value? We don't sell him on the marketplace, so we don't know his intrinsic value. So how do you do it? Elam Rav Ashi, loymer, what Rav Lezer meant to say is, shein sham and I say ben nizik. We don't look at the nizik. He is taka like an evet. What would he be worth with an eye or without an eye? The difference, that's what he has to pay. That's the damage. But we don't look at the eye of the nizik, elam b'mazik, since in that sense, we say, I in tachas ayin, you have to pay money. How much? Your eye to compensate for his eye, the value. It's going to be money. But how much would you be worth if you were sold in the marketplace with the eye? And how much would you be worth without the eye? Tosis de Ramaschal, Ella ben Amazik explains that Rav Lezer holds that it's like kaifer. That just like kaifer we had before, that you pay how much the mazik is worth when a shara muad kills somebody. So we have to, the master has to pay kaifer. Instead of taking the master's life, he pays money. How much? His value. So Rav Lezer holds that the same thing. Ayin tachas ayin, you have to pay money, kaifer, of what your eye of the mazik is worth. The other tanoim who disagree and say it's not the mazik, it's the nizik's eye, so they hold that kaifer is different because that's pidyon nafshei. There he's redeeming his very life by paying kaifer, therefore it has to be the life of the mazik. However, by ayin tachas ayin, it could be that we only evaluate how much he's worth as an eved, with an eye or without an eye. It could be it's the money of the nizik. Those are the shittas of the ones who argue against Rabbi Eliezer. Continues the Gemara, Ahu Chamra. There was this donkey. The Kati Yari Dinuka that cut off the hand of a small child. Also, come into Rav Papa that came in front of Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Amar Lahu Zilu Shumule Arbot Vorb. Go and estimate how much he has to pay for four things. And they're here, the Mefarshim explained, there was many misunderstandings. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel thought that the owner of the donkey did the damage and not the donkey itself. Because we'll soon see, a donkey doesn't have to pay even for dvorim. He only pays nezek. He pays karen, chatzi nezek, if it's mishunah, if he has no anoah from what he did, as the Pnei Yeshua learns here in the sugya. But Papa Bar Shmuel thought that the owner did it. He also, according to the Marshah, thought that maybe there was no nezek. There was only tzar, ripi, shavas, and baishas. He only said four things. Tosis tells us that he thought that even though it was a cotton, but this cotton was old enough that there should be busha. If he's an old enough cotton, there could be busha even though he's a cotton. So anyway, Amar Le Rava, Rava said, V'anan chamishatam, we learned that you have to pay five things. Amar Le Labar mi nezek hamina. So when he discovered, the way the Marshal learns, he discovered that there was nezek. So then he said, what I meant, four things, I meant not including nezek. Nezek is a given. It's understood. That's how the Marshal, the Madura Basra, understands it. That's a given. So I don't even have to mention that. And all I'm speaking about is the other four things. Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, Uboishes. I'm like, Abaye, V'chamoru. Wait a second. What do you mean? Four, five? We're talking about a chamor. V'chamor, Enem, Mishamon, and Nezek. Chamor only pays Nezek. He only pays Chatzi Nezek, as we said from the Pnei Yeshua, if it's Mishunah, Karet. Amar Lahu, Zilu, Shumle, Niske. Okay, forget about four or five. Only Nezek. I, V'chamor, Avdabod, Mishayme. You have to estimate him how much he's worth with the hand or without the hand. Okay, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel agreed. Zilu Shamu Ka Avdo. Estimate the child like an Evet, with or without the hat. Amar Lehu Avuad. Now the father piped up and said, the father, the eunuch of the child, Loi Beina, I don't want my child to be evaluated as a slave. The Zilu Bei Milsa. It's an embarrassment for me that he should be estimated as a slave. So therefore, I'm forfeiting the money. And he has a right to forfeit the money because he's considered an apotropos, a guardian of the child. But they questioned him, Amalei, to the father, V'okamachayvis le'yanukah. This money really belongs to the child. You have a right, to, as his apotropos, to be mochlet, but it comes out you're being chavlacherim because really it's his money, and you're causing that he's going to lose this money if you're not going to pursue it by estimating his value. Amar lehu, l'chi gadol mefaisin alemedidi. When he grows up, I will make it up to him how much he was supposed to get. I will pay him. And the Miri says that Rav Papa Bar Shmuel went along with this because he felt that the person was a person of means and that he would be able to make good on this promise and the child wouldn't lose out in the future. Continues the Gemara, how hutur there was this ox, the ulus, that he chewed off, yad of a child. Also, come made Rava came in front of Rava, omeluhu, zilu, shaimu kavda, go and estimate him like an evet, how much the child's worth with the hand or without the hand. Omrulev, omaru, domer, you yourself, Rava, said that this was taking place in Bavel, that kolanishim kevet, ain't goivin, I said, in Bavel. We know that there are certain dinim that we don't do in Bavel. For example, you're not goiv a knas in Bavel. And you also, Rava added, that you don't estimate something when it comes to monetary payments that is not a punishment like knas, we don't estimate them in Bavel as well. So this is in Bavel, and this is an estimation. So how could you here in Bavel do it? Why you can't do this in Bavel, we'll see in the Gemara on Amid Beis. The Meforshim point out that really Ravin, the Gemara before, with the case of the Chamor, he said, why do you say four? There's five. And this was in Bavel, the case before, and it's also a question of not estimating things in Bavel. Rav Lishitasi holds that the Bezdin in Bavel does not do those kinds of cases. So what's the Pshat in the Gemara before? So the Meforshim answer, I believe it's the Marsha says that there you could say he was just saying it according to the sheet of Rapapa Bar Shmuel. Rapapa Bar Shmuel was saying you do estimate these things in Bavel. So Rav has said, according to your opinion, why is it only four? It should be five. But here where Rav himself was passing the case, so the Talmidim of Rav asked that this is not a case that we should pass in Bavel. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, like Sricha de'i Tafas, as Rashi learns, that the Nizik has a right to tell Bezdin that, or the Mazik has a right to tell Bezdin that, let's say the Nizik won't wait for Bezdin, but he's going to grab the money. How much is he entitled to? How much can I go to Bezdin and say, oh, he grabbed from me too much, he has to give me back the difference? So Rashi learns you could even do it in the future. The Rosh says, Girsa over here is im tafas. What, it happened already. It happened that the Nizik grabbed the money from the Mazik, and now the case was, how much is the hand really worth? And the Nizik would have to give back the extra money that he took. Rava Latame, when Rava says that you can't judge these things in Bavel, he goes L'shitasai, Dama Rava, Niske Shor B'Shor, if a shore was damaged by a shore, or Niske Shor Bottom a shore through an Adam, Goy V'Nesoy B'Bavel, those could be adjudicated in Bavel. Niske Adam B'Adam, if an Adam was damaged through an Adam, or Niske Adam B'Shor, or an Adam was damaged through a shore, and Goy V'Nesoy B'Bavel, you cannot judge those Dinam in Bavel. Nadigamore wants to know, what is the difference? Maishan on Niske Adam B'Adam, what's the difference a Nezik of a person by a person? And Uniske Adam B'Shor, or damages of an Adam through a shore, Deloy, that we cannot judge them in Bavel. Because Elohim being of Aleka, you need a Bezdin. Elohim here means a Bezdin of Smuchen, that have Smicha, Ishmi Piyish, till Moshe Rabbeinu. It's called Smicha because Moshe placed his hands on Yoshua at the first Smicha. Subsequent Smichas do not require putting the hands on the head of the other person. And there was Ishmi Piyish Smicha until there came a time in history when this Smicha was bottled. This is not the same Smicha as a person receives in Yeshiva today when he learns for Yoredeya and or Arachayim and receives Smicha Yore Yore. But this was a special Smicha that entitled the person to adjudicate Dinei Mominis and specialized Dinim. So why can't you adjudicate those dinim in Bavel? Because Elohim being in Veleka, we don't have smich in Bavel. Smich was only given in Eretz Yisrael. So in this case, shor b'shor b'shor b'adam nami. As we turn to the pei dal amid beis, Elohim being in Veleka, we need Elohim. As Rashi points out, that all these four cases that the Gemara brings down over here of Adam b'adam and Adam b'shor and shor b'shor and shor b'adam, all these cases are found in Parshas Elam Mishpatim. Adam Bottom, it says, V'chi Yeruvun, they will fight. Adam Bishor, it says, V'chi Yigach. And then it says, Ad Elohim Yavad Varshneim, and that's going on all of these cases. And Rashi speaks out, Elohim means Mumachin is Smuchin, and Bavel, there's no Smich, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Yadalit. Then Rashi adds that shore through a shore, or shore through an Adam, it also says, Shor Bishor, V'chi Yigav Shor. Shore Bottom is by the Arbor Shoimrim, when he did shlichus yad. He stole it for himself, the shomer, and there came out a loss for the shor through an adam. And on all those four cases, it says Elohim. So if you need Elohim for adam ba'adam and adam b'shor, and that's why in Bavel you can't adjudicate it because there's no smicha, there's no mumchen. So the same should apply to shor b'shor or shor b'adam, because on all four cases it says Elohim. So why do you tell me that two of these four cases Bezdin could paskin, and two of the four cases Bezdin cannot paskin? Ella maishna shor b'shor b'shor b'adam the shalichu sayukav dinen. Why do we say that by a shor which was hit by a shor, or a shor that was hit by an adam, that we do adjudicate it in Bavel? Because we do the shlichus of the mumchim in Eretz Yisrael. Even though it says Elohim by these damages as well, you need mumchim, and we don't have mumchim in Bavel, but yet the dayanim in Bavel are shluchim, as the Gemara tells us in Gittin Daf Pei Chesam at Beis. And Tosfos there tells us that even though Bizman Azeh, there is no mumchin in Eretz Yisrael either, but in Bavel they are shlichim of the original Bezdin. Midi Dahavi, where do we find a precedent that the Dayanim in Bavel, although they are not mumchin, they're not Elohim, yet they will adjudicate cases where mumchin are required? Midi Dahava Adois V'Hal Vois. Rashi explains how Adois means Adam said that Reuven was moid in front of us that he owes Shimon money. Hal Vois means Adam testified in Bezdin that we saw how Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. And really, these are dinim that require mumchin, yet we adjudicate them in Bavel. And the reason is, shloitinol delas b'nei lovin, because if you're going to have to get mumchin, and we don't usually have mumchin in Bavel, people will not want to lend money. So we make an exception to the rule of mumchin, and we say that even without mumchin, we are the shlichim, the messengers of the mumchin in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have such a precedent, and we apply that to the din of shor b'shor b'shor b'adam. So again, what is the difference between those two cases and the other two cases, which require Elohim? Adam b'adam, if an adam was damaged by another adam, or adam b'shor, an adam was damaged by a shor, nami shluchas ayikav dinin midi dahavi ados v'avois. Why don't we say the same thing, that we are the shlichim of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, the mumchin, as we find by ados v'avois? The Gemara is grappling to find a distinct difference between Shor b'shor and shor ba'adam versus adam b'shor and adam ba'adam. Amri, I'll tell you. Kikov din shlichus ayu. When do the dayanim in Bavel do the shlichus of Eretz Yisrael? That's midi dekim lamagavei. That's only something that we are certain about, which does not need any estimation, evaluation. Baba midi dekim lamagavei, like over here, as Rashi says, here where we have to estimate how much a shor is worth, how much a person is worth. So there, loy avdin v'shlichusai, we don't do their shlichus. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, again, how is this something that can distinguish between the four cases? Amrei, I'll tell you. Shor b'shor, v'shor b'adam, where you do say that the dayanim in Bavel act as shlichim for the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, nami loykim lamegavei. It also requires estimation. It's not a set amount. Ella, yet we adjudicate those cases because pukhazi, go out and see. And here the Bach changes the next word of heiko to kamo mizdabni turbishuka. You just have to find out how much this ox is sold in the marketplace without a damage and with a damage, the difference, and that's what he has to pay. Adam ba'adam va'adam b'shor. Nami will say the same thing. Pukhazi, go out and see. Again, change heiko to kamo. Kamo mizdabni avda b'shuka. How much is an evit sold in a shuk? Without the damage and with the damage. Again, what is the distinguishing characteristic of two cases over the other two cases? V'yoid, I'll ask you another question. Tashlum kefal. V'tashlum abrav chamicha dekitzi. The payments of a ganav who has to pay double kefal. Or by a sed that is sold or shechted where you have to pay arba. Or by a shor which is sold or shechted where you have to pay chamisha. The kitzi which is set, and it does not require any evaluation. Navdi shluchasai, navid shluchasai. Why here are the dayanim above, not shlichim of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael? And we know that these are dinei knasas, which Rashi points out are ain't done in dinei knasas above. Amri, I'll answer you. Kikov dinei shluchasai b'memayna. that itself is a chilek, because we only do the shlichis by hodos or voice, which are a mamon dikadin, babiknasa, but arba v'chamisha or kefil, which is more than the aveira, the damage that the person did. That's a knas, that's a punitive measure. Lo yavdin shlichasaya, by knas, we never do the shlichis of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. So this will answer also adam b'shor, if the shor is a tam. Tam pays less. Whenever you pay less or more than the damages, that's considered knas. So this will answer our question why we do not judge in Eretz, in Bavel, the halachas of a shor damaging a person. But the Gemara asks, you have not answered adam b'adam. You haven't answered when one person damages another person. And the Bach here puts in the word upegam, or by someone who's manis a psula, he rapes a virgin woman, he has to pay for pegam, which, as Rashi explains, is the difference between a woman who sold as a shifcha being a psula, or if she sold on the marketplace as a shifcha and she is not a psula, she's a beula. And when he gives over the shifcha to the eved, so there is a maila if the shifcha is a psula, and that difference between a psula and a beula, that is mamon. So the Bach adds the word pegam here, although from Rashi it's mashma that Rashi did not have the girsa, Rashi had the girsa like we have in the Gemara, but on Adam, ba'adam, certainly, according to all shitas, the question is, the mamoina, that's a hezek. That's a damage which makes him depreciated because of the damage. Who navich lichusayu? It's not kanas, it's mammon. And why do you tell me that by Adam ba'adam, the Bezdin in Bavel does not paskin those dinim? Why don't we act as shlichim of the Dayanim and Eretz Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, kikov dinu shlichasayu, b'milsir shchicha. When do we do the shlichas of the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael, the mumchen, if it's something that is prevalent, it happens often? But Adam ba'adam, but Adam and Adam, or according to the Bach, upegam, we'll answer the question of pegam also, the loy shchicha, which is not a usual thing. So loy avdim shluchasayu, we don't do their shluchas. Ask the Gemara, rei boishes, what about if one person embarrasses another person? And unfortunately, that is a shchichdika thing. And we have the girsa here, upegam. According to the Bach, you take out the word pegam, because the Gemara addressed that before, and the Gemara said that Adam and pegam, that is loy shchiach. But again, according to Rashi, we will leave in the word pegam. And the Gemara here, according to the way Rashi is going, is haribayish the pegam de shchiach navich lichusayu. It is considered shchiach, and therefore we should do their shlichas. Amri, I'll give you an answer. Hachanami, ein hachanami. By boishes, we will do the shlichas. And we find such a thing. Rapapa agbi arba meya zuzim boisha. Rapapa collected 400 zuzim for boishas. Rashi brings down, where's the precedent for busha, 400 zuzim? We find if somebody pulls somebody's ear or pulls his hair, we evaluate it at 400 zuz. And that's what Rapapa collected. So ain't a chanami. Busha is a shchiyathika thing. It's considered mammon. And therefore, we do collect it in Bavel. Ask the Gemara, v'holesl rapapa, we don't hold a rapapa, because we learned earlier in the Masechta, on Dav Chav Zayin on the Beis, the Shalach Rav Chizah Rav Nachman, Rav Chizah asked the Shalach Rav Nachman, how do you paskin dine busha in Bavel, v'sholach lei, and he sent back a reply to him, chizda, knas to come back with Bavel. You want to collect knas in Bavel? We don't paskin dine knasas in Bavel. Top Taisa says, that ain't a chanami, as we're going to see soon. The reason you don't don busha in Bavel is not because it's knas, because busha is hakol ufi amavayish from his bayish. You have to see who's causing the embarrassment and who's the recipient of the embarrassment, and that is a certain set amount. It's not punitive, but rather you evaluate how much the busha is worth that he has to pay that shame. So the reason you're not magvez, we're going to see busha in bavel, is because there is no real chasorin kiss. And anything that has no real chasorin kiss, we do not do the shlichus of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. But he refers to it as dine knosses. Just like dine knosses are not adjudicated in bavel, so too dine busha, although dine busha are mammon and not knas. But we see from the Gemara before on the Chav Zayin Amud Beis that busha is not collected in bavel. Rav Papa was wrong to take 400 zuzim for a case of busha in bavel. Ella, so we're back to the question that if busha is mammon, why don't we do the shlichas? Ella, ki avdin shlichasayu, the Gemara comes out in a maskana, you need two criterion. B'milsi, de shchiach ve'ispe chesorin kis, it has to be something that is common, and it has a chesorin kis. But if you only have one and not the other, we will not do the shlichas of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. Avol milsa de shchicha. Let's say you have something that is happens often, but v'les be chesorin kis, there is no chesorin kis, as is busha, as we'll soon see. Inami milsa loy shchicha, or something that's not common. V'ispe chesorin kis, there is a loss of money. Loy avdin shlichasai. If you only have one of the two, we do not do the shlichas of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. Hilka, therefore. Here are two examples. Adam, bo Adam, you asked me a question, why don't we don those dinim in bavel? Afagav dispe chesaron kis, even though there is a chesaron kis, is hezek damage, how much he's worth sold as an eved without the damage or with the damage, that difference is a monetary loss. But kivin lo shchicha, since it's not common, lo yavdin shlichusayu. People don't go around hitting each other and causing such damage, so therefore we don't do the shlichas because it's not the shchich. We only do the shlichas of a shchich. Busha, boishas, aval gav de shchich, even though it is common, but kivin the less bechas aren't kiss, there is no loss of money, lo yavdin shlichasai, we do not do their shlichas. Asks the Gemara, v'shor b'shor goyvim b'bavel, according to what you're telling me, a shor who damaged another shor, were goyvim b'bavel, v'amar rava, rava said, shor shehizik, a shor did damage a b'bavel, ain't goyvim b'shor b'bavel, we don't collect it in b'bavel. And now let's understand what Rava's statement was referring to. The Azik Man, who did the shore do damage to? Elam, the Azik Adam, if the shore damaged an Adam, my ear is shore the Azik Adam. Why are you telling me that a shore damaged an Adam? You're not Goyvin Bavel. Afilo Adam, the Azik Adam Nami. As Rashi explains, shore the Azik Adam is less prevalent than Adam, the Azik Adam. And even Adam, the Azik Adam, Adam the Azik Adam, Rava says that you're not Goyve. So why, if Shor was speaking about that he's Azik Adam, even Adam the Azik Adam, which is more prevalent, Rava said that we do not collect in Bavel. Nami ain't Goyve, I said in Bavel. Elipshita, when Rava made the statement that Shor is Mazik, and you don't collect it in Bavel, he's not referring to Shor Da'azik Adam, because you could have said a bigger Kiddush, even Adam Da'azik Adam, which is prevalent, you don't collect. Ella, Pshita Da'azik Shor. Rava was making a statement of Shor Da'azik Shor. Uktani ain't governor of Bavel. And Rava said, you're not going to Bavel. So it's a contradiction to what we said before, that Shor B'Shor is going to Bavel. Answers the Gemara. Amri, I'll tell you, Hasam B'Tam. There, Rava was speaking about a tam, hocha b'mu'ud. Here, we're speaking about a mu'ud. A tam is knas, because it's chatzi nezek, and you, anything more or less than the actual damage is considered knas and not mammon, so that we don't collect in bavel. Ain't done in dini knas in bavel. We are not shlichim of the dayanim mumchen in Eretz Yisrael, but hocha, here we're speaking about mu'ud. Mu'ud is the exact damage. That's mammon. That's nezek shalom. And Mimela Mu'ud, we are done in Bavel, no stira. Ivar Rava ain't Mu'ud b'Bavel. Rava said there's no Mu'ud b'Bavel, as Rashi explains, because Mu'ud is based on Tam. And since there's no Tam in Bavel, because we're not done, we don't done Dine Knas in Bavel, we can never establish over three times that the shore should become a Mu'ud. Amri, I'll tell you, the Aydi Hasim, he was the shore, the owner of the shore was warned in Bavel, Vaisula Hacha, and he became a Mu'ud over there, and then they brought it here to Bavel, and now the Dayanim in Bavel, Kempaskin, once he already became a Mu'ud, based on what the history of what had happened in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Is that a prevalent thing? That itself is not common for the tam to happen in Eretz Yisrael and then bring him over here as a muad to bavel. You said by anything that's not a prevalent thing, we are not the shlichim of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara answers the asur rabbanim the hasav yadu the hacha. It's not that you cannot paskin dine kenosas. It's just that usually you don't have mumchim. But let's say there were mumchim from Eretz Yisrael visiting here in Bavel, then we could paskin it. And that's what happened, and that's why we were able to make it here into a mu'in. And there, in that case, we said that sure, Dazik sure, we would paskin in Bavel because the Dayanim happened to be here, and they were able to say that this is a mu'ud. Says the Gemara, Saif, Saif, Milsulei Shrichahi. It's not usual for Mumchim from Eretz Yisrael to be here in Bavel. You said that anything that's not Shliach, we don't do their Shlichas. Ella, Kikama Rava, when did Rava say that we paskin the halachas of Shor b'shor that you are goyve b'bavel, that is b'shen v'regel, the mu'ud mitchilos and ninu. You don't have to wait for tam to become a mu'ud as you do by Karen. Shen regel, as Rashi explains, shen, that one ox rubbed himself against another ox and got hanoa, pleasure from it, so that's like eating something for pleasure, and while he was doing that, he caused a damage to the other shore. Or regel, as he was walking along without intention to be mazik the other shore, but in his regular travel, he bumped into the other shore and caused him damage. So that is told of regel. That is considered regel, and therefore that's a case of mu'ud mitchila, and therefore that could be paskined in bavel, and that's the case of shor b'shor that we do paskin in bavel. Before we start the next sugya that's explaining the Mishnah, I just want to relate the famous gra we had on Amud Aleph. What are the asmachtas, the remozim in the psukim, to the fact that Ayin Tachzayin refers to Mammon, and the famous Vilna Gaon says something not found in our Gemara, that Ayin Tachzayin means, you know how you pay for an eye? You pay for a Tachzayin. You pay for it by the letters that are under the Ayin, meaning the following letters. The word Ayin is spelled Ayin Yud and the Nun, and after the Ayin is a Pei, after the Yud is a Chaf, and after the Nun is a Samach, and in those letters they form the word Kesef. So Ayin, Tachas Ayin means what you're really paying for is what comes under, what comes after Ayin, which is the word Kesef, and that's how we know that it is Mammon. Now the Gemara explains the next part of the Mishnah, which states, Tsar, how do you pay for Tsar? Not b'makom nezeh, kavoy b'shpud. He burnt him with a spit. Oy b'masmer huzak, or with a nail. Or with a nail he caused damage. Al tzi pornoi, the Mishnah concludes, on his nail, makom she'en ois chabur, in a place where there is no wound, so there's no nezek, and therefore his value does not become lessened when he will be sold as an eved on the marketplace, and yet you have to pay tzar shlev makom nezek. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we in fact know this halacha, tzar shlev makom nezek? We learned before Petzah, Tachas Petzah on Amud Aleph, that tells us you have to pay for tzar b'makom nezek. How do I know that tzar shlev b'makom nezek, where there is no nezek, like if it's a burn on his fingertip on his nail, how do you know mishtam that you pay? Mantana, who is this? Amar Rava, this is Ben Azaihi, the son we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Oimer, Kviya Nemrathila. It says in the Pasuk first, Kviya. Ben Azai Omer Chabur Nemrathila, Ben Azai says Chabur said first, but Maikam Ifli, what's the Machlokes? In fact, the Machlokes doesn't even make sense, because if you learn the Pasuk inside, it says Kviya Tachas Kviya, Petza Tachas Petza, and Chabur Tachas Chabur. So it's clear that in that Pasuk, it says Kviya first. So how could Ben Azai say Chabur Nemrathila? What is the understanding of the Machlokes? The Gemara answers. The Gemara is going to say one pshat, and then the Gemara is going to turn around and say another pshat. According to the first pshat, our Mishnah will come out like Ben Azai. But the Gemara doesn't like that in the Maskana, to make our Mishnah to go not like Rebbe, who is the redactor of the entire Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara has a pshat in a second pshat of the Machlokes Rebbe and Ben Azai, where it will come out that our Mishnah is like Rebbe. But now we're learning the first pshat. So the Havamina we learn like this. Rebbe Savar, Kviya de Les B'chabur Mashma. When Rebbe said, Kviya Nemra Tchila, he was referring to what is my Havamina when I first look at the word Kviya, what does that mean? That means Les B'chabur Mashma. Kasev Rachmana, Chabura, then the Torah later says at the end of the Pasuk, Chabura, Tachas Chabura, Legluy Allah, to reveal the Kaviya, the Isbe Chabura, in Eloi Loi. That what type of Kaviya was I referring to? Not like you thought in the Havamina without a Chabura, but rather I'm telling you in the Maskana, it means with a Chabura. So according to Rebbe, you only pay for a pain that was suffered from a burn which caused the chabura. If there was no chabura, you don't pay for the tsar. As Rashi explains, the only time you pay tsar is when there's a chabura, when you need a roife, when you have to pay for a roife as well. But if there is no necessity for a roife, you don't pay for tsar either. Ben Azai Tzavar, when Ben Azai said chabura nemra tchilo, he was also speaking of what did I think in the Havamina. So in the Havamina, I thought Ben Azai says, the word burn itself always implies that there is a chabur with that burn. So therefore, at the end, according to Ben Azai's understanding of the Pasuk, if kviya means with a chabur, so why did the Torah have to repeat again, chabura, tachas chabur? It already said that in the word kviya d'ispa chabur. Elamai, it's telling you that not only is a kaviya with a chabura chayiv, but even a kaviya without a chabura is also chayiv, because chabura is already said at the end of the pasuk. So what's the kaviya? The kaviya must be not like I thought in the Havamina only with a chabura. The kaviya must be even without a chabura. So when our Mishnah says that there is tsar shaloi b'makom nezik, that on a finger nail there is a tsar, even though there is no nezek, that is going according to the Havamin of the Gemara here, according to Ben Azai. Maskul Rav Papa, Ad Rabba, Ifcha Mistavra. It makes sense just the opposite to say, and Rashi gives two reasons why it makes sense to say the opposite. But because, first of all, I want to make our Mishnah like Rebbe, and then when Rebbe and Ben Azai use the terminology Nemra Tchila, according to the first way we learned it, it meant this is the Havamin of Rebbe and Ben Azai, but not the Maskana. It makes more sense to say that the word Nemra is, that's how we come out l'maskana, what the words mean. And according to that, not the Havamin, but the Maskana. So Rebbe Yoimer, according to the way we're going to darshan the pasuk, it will come out at the end that kviya Nemra t'chala. What does that mean? Savar. Kviya, the regular kviya, is the ispechabur mashma, which is what we thought before in the first period according to Ben Azai. Now we're going and saying this according to Rebbe. Without the chabura, tachas chabura, I would say that a regular kviya means with a chabura. Kasa rachamana chabura. That's why the Torah wrote at the end of the pasuk chabura. Legluya Allah, to explain to you, no. The kviya, the lesba chabura. Chabura I have at the end of the pasuk. So what's the kviya at the beginning? Without a chabura. So when Rebbe says the words, kviya nemrat chila, what Rebbe means according to this pshat is based on chabura at the end of the pasuk. I understand at the maskana, not like I thought in the Havamina that kviya means with a chabur, no. That kviya means even without a chabur. And Memela, our Mishnah, goes like Rebbe according to this pshat. Ben Azai Oimer. Ben Azai says, chabura nemrat chila, which according to the way we're learning now means at the end of our whole drasha, not in the Havamina, but at the end, the maskana is going to be that kviya means with a chabura. Why? Because Savar, he holds in the Havamina kviya the lespa chabura mashma. So kasar rechamana chabura, if kviya, I would have thought means without a chabura. So when the Torah wrote chabura, like luya law, to teach you the kviya dispa chabura in Eloi Loi, that only a kviya with a chabura you have to pay for, without a chabura you don't have to pay for. Vamaskana kaimi, when both Rebbe and Ben Azai said their statements of Rebbe said kviya nemra tchila, he means that's what I hold in the maskana, that a kviya is chayiv even without a chabura. All you need is kviya alone. So everybody's maida that the order of the pasuk is kviya tachas kviya, petz tachas petza, and chabura tachas chabura. Rebbe says, according to the way I darshan the pasuk, we come out at the end that a kviya without a chabura is nemra tchila. And Benazir says, according to the way I darshan the pasuk, we come out at the end that it's only a kviya with a chabura. So it'll come out according to this that our Mishnah goes like Rebbe that kvi is chayev for tsar even shaloi b'masuk kibnesik even if there's no chabur. Ina may have another way where our Mishnah can come out like Rebbe. The kuli am kvi bein disma chabur bein lesma chabur mashma. According to everybody, it's whether with a chabur or without a chabur. V'hoch as we turn to daf pei hey yom and aleph bechalu pratam ruchakim zemi zekamiflegi. Here in our pasuk we have a klal kviya tachas kviya, and kviya means both with a chabur or without a chabur. Then we say petza tachas petza, which is a prat, but the Ravid explains this is a prat which I can't use to. The halach is klalu prat, ein bechlal elamashu prat. So I can't say that the klal of kvi is only if it has pega, it has the petza, it has the prat of the second clause, because that prat I'm using for a whole different Russia of tsar b'makom nezek, that you do pay tsar. We don't say you just pay nezek, you have to pay tsar and nezek, as we had on daf, pay dalet amud aleph. So from that prat, I cannot contain the klal and say it's only the prat of a petza. However, then I have another prat, which is chabura, tachas chabura. So the machloikis is, do you say klal u prat, even if the klal and the prat are separated from each other with a different clause, like in our case, they're separated kviya from chabura with the middle clause of petza. Rebbe, sovra, ain't done on a sovra klal u prat. If they're separated one from the other, you do not darshan klal u prat. So memela, the klal remains by itself, which is whether it is a chabura or whether the kviya doesn't have a chabura. So memela, our mission that says you're chayav for tsar shaloi b'makom nezek is according to Rebbe that you're chayav for kvi even if there is no nezek, no chabur. Uben as I suffer, done and I say b'chalal uprad. You do darshan b'chalal uprad. So yeah, even if they're separated one from the other. So the kviya is modified and restricted to chabura. It has to be a kviya with a chabura. You only pay tsar b'makom nezek. So our mission that says you pay tsar shaloi b'makom nezek is going according to Rebbe. Asking more of a chitem, a chabur l'Rebbe, lovely. According to Ben Azay, I understand why you have chabura at the end. Because ein b'chlal el mashur b'prat, kviya only with a chabura. But according to Rebbe, that you're chayav both for a kviya with a chabura or a kviya without a chabura. So why, in fact, do I need the chabura at the end? We don't use it for klal u'prat. So the answer is, l'domim yaseirim, for extra money, explains Rashi, to tell you that even when there's a chabura and there's nezek, not only do you pay for the tsar, you also pay for the nezek. I would have thought that maybe you only pay for the tsar and not the nezek. Kamash malan, that you pay for tsar and nezek. Tosis doesn't like this pshat, because two questions. Number one, that I already know from Petza Tachas Petza, that you pay B'mokim Nezek, you pay both Nezek and Tsar. And then Taisa says, why would I have a Havamina that if the person had Tsar besides the Nezek, that he doesn't have to pay for the Nezek? And that's why Taisa comes with a whole different shot. Dami Yisairiv, two people can have the same tsar, but what's left a roishim on the skin of the person after the injury that was caused him by the mazik could be different. One could suffer for a long time or maybe for the rest of his life a discoloration of his skin, a roishim of that attack by the mazik. And it can last a long time. The tsar was for both of them the same. How do I know when there's a chabura that leaves a long, lasting roishim that you have to pay extra? That's the word chabura, that has to be included as well, according to the shita of Rebbe.